Over with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
6 p.m. tonight. Big one. Women's Elite game, LSU taking on Iowa. Jack Benjamin's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Says it's not Albany. It's Albany. He's a New Yorker. We'll talk to him bottom of the hour. Talk men's Final Four. This matchup here as well. Caitlin Clark, LSU going at it, getting ready to go. We've been talking about it. It was our lead last hour. It'll be probably our lead this hour here as well. If you want to chat about it, 800-998-1003 on the Ruderman can. Caller and guest hotline. Hour one is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters. If you want to go check them out, nowakeoutfitters.com to see everything that they do there. Kayaks, fly fishing, the works. It's going to be there April 12th, a couple of days from now. Next Friday. 1926 Airline Drive for a remote. Hour two is brought to you by Chris's Paving. Chris's Paving.com. If you want to go check them out, driveways, parking lots, overlays, they're locally owned and operated. Your asphalt and concrete paving contractor for the NOLA and Bayou regions. So if you're paving it at all, give them a call. See what I'm doing there? Get it yet?
Time now for The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. Here's what's topping our headlines on the Sports Hangover.
All right, so we talked about LSU and Iowa. Let's do a double lead this hour, brought to you by Lakeview Massage and Therapy and Upper Cervical Family Chiropractic with the good doctor, Josh Roulette. LSU, Iowa, kind of a big game tonight in the Elite Eight. We played last hour some of the things that some of the national media were looking at. How are they going to face each other? Who's going to be the big players? Look, let's be honest. A rematch of the national title game. Caitlin Clark.
I think we're excited. I think, you know, anytime you have a chance to go up against somebody you lost to, it brings a little more energy. But at this point in the tournament, every single team is good. Whether you're playing West Virginia, whether you're playing Colorado, whether you're playing LSU, you prep the exact same way. You come in with the same exact mindset. And I think overall, it's just going to be a really great game for women's basketball. And they're really solid 1-5.
Angel Reese.
Last year, the scouting report was just to contain her as best as we can and not let the surrounding players score as much as they could. So we're going to do the same thing again this year. I mean, she's scoring 30 when they win. She's scoring 30 when they lose. So it's a win-win-lose situation with it. So we're just going to have to not allow those other players to score.
And then, of course, that's at 6 o'clock at 7 in the Smoothie King Center. It's the game of the homestand. You got to have it. Pelicans taking on the Phoenix Suns. Why you got to have it? Well, look at the NBA standings. Eight games left, including tonight. OKC, the team the Pels kicked off the home games, the home stand with, they're in first place by half game over Denver. In third, Minnesota, one game back. Three teams, a game separating all three. The Clippers now have a two-game lead on the Pels and Mavericks. Dallas has won seven straight. 9-1 in their last 10. They're now fifth. Same record as the Pels, 45-29. Both of those teams are seven games behind OKC. There's the line. Below that line, it's the play-in situation. 7-8 will play one another. Loser will play the winner of 9-10s. Winner, you're in. Currently, it's Sacramento in 7, Phoenix in 8th. They're both 9 games behind first place. They're both 2 games behind the Mavericks and Pelicans. Now, New Orleans holds the tiebreaker over Sacramento. That's why tonight is big. Can you beat Phoenix? Can you get that tiebreaker? Because then you have a 3-game lead with 7 to go. Winning tonight would go a long way to getting closer to where you're either going to be 5 or 6. If the season ended today, you know how that works. 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7, 3 versus 6. Well, right now, it's Minnesota and the Pels. Do you like that matchup? Do you want the Clippers, who are in 4th, the 4-5 battle? That would be Dallas and Clippers. Nuggets and whoever wins between Sacramento and Phoenix. If the season ended today, Lakers and Warriors would be the play-in game. They're 9-10. Warriors have a two-game lead now on the Rockets as they have won four straight. The championship mentality. They want to make the postseason, right? Lakers, they are 7-3 in the last 10. They beat Brooklyn. LaBubu James, 9 threes. It's the greatest single victory of all time against the Brooklyn Nets. Congratulations. Anyway, so the national folks are looking at it. That's how the season ends today. That's what it would look like. Now, as far as what happened with Boston, and we didn't do the show on Friday, that bounce back win against Milwaukee was pretty solid. And if you want to hear what it sounded like, let's go back in time. Thursday night against the Bucks.
Zion splits defenders, bounce feed to Herb, right corner three. That is number 100 this year for Herbert Keyshawn Jones. Rebound Nance, got to put it up at the buzzer.
Oh, take that, Larry.
And he banked it in. CJ front court back to Trey, another three. Yes,
that is wet water in a desert from Trey Murphy.
Two threes for Murphy in 15 seconds.
Where's the foul?
Portis.
Where's the foul?
Put it up and in, Jan.
My goodness. What is that?
Oh, my.
What is that?
I almost cursed, folks. I almost cursed.
Come on.
Zion. Throw it up and in with a left hand over Giannis, who fouled him on the way up. Now, CJ, deep right wing three. Are you serious?
Bucket getter. He had to shoot it. The shot clock about to expire. And that was a myth of a possession.
Dribble it out. 3-2-1.
Listen to him. Listen to him.
Blender was doing awesome. Again, the bounce back I thought was key. And more than anything else, you were able to learn from some of the lessons. Unfortunately, that's what it is, right? School's in session, but the graph said it at the end of the game going into Milwaukee. After that that OKC game, school's out. Like, you've got to start applying what you see, or what you see, rather. And one of the things that you're seeing, too, is Zion's... You heard Jake Madison say it. The way Zion's played the last couple of games against these three good teams, seeing all the different looks, seeing all the different aspects of it. This is what he said after that Bucks game when I was trying to figure out how teams play defensively.
There's a lot of things to look at. A few would be not just looking at where... Brooke is, if Giannis is guarding me, then I know he's not tracking me from somewhere else. It's looking at where the rest of the help defense is, because some teams, when I attack the gaps, they'll kind of hedge and then get back to my shooters. Other teams will stay there and let me pass it to my shooters. But with a combo like Giannis and Brooke, you almost got to like kind of play at their feet. Because if they're there and they can just jump straight up, it's real difficult to try to finish shots over them. So it's just kind of playing at their feet and just getting it right angles and timing it right.
I wanted to play that because it goes back to what I was saying when we had Jake Madison on. He is getting a not a crash course. I mean, he's getting his lessons, like live in action, playoff caliber, championship caliber teams, MVPs, what they're doing. And I want to play that too as well, because you probably get caught like I do. We're watching a game. Here he comes down the court. Whoa! He goes right, past two, three guys, laid it in off the glass, and great. But to hear that there's some method to that, that he's observing, trying to understand the game, and when you hear players talk like that, it goes to what he said about 2 weeks ago, the game slowing down. The greats, the really good difference maker players, you're hearing him describe what he's looking for. He's not just running down the court hoping that something happens and goes and lays it in. He's looking specifically on how teams are trying to defend him. How is he going to be able to do this pass and things of that nature? I love hearing that. Again, infancy. Like, they just started this. He hasn't played a playoff game yet. So I think there's perspective to it. Sure, you would have wanted a lot more wins and things that he has to learn. He has to go through this, right? Boston, Drew Holiday, Porzingis, Jaylen Brown, Tatum. I can keep going on with half that team. They've played in finals, have won finals, or have been in playoff series before. So he got a chance to see third quarter what they did to him adjusting.
You could just see where we were starting our offense from. We were starting our offense near half court. versus starting it close to the three-point line. So just them making that small adjustment by applying pressure higher up, it changes the offense for anybody you play against. So then, you know, we're not really getting the shots we want. We're just kind of forcing up shots.
I love hearing that. Look, it's one thing to say, well, why didn't y'all do it? Look, it's more than just him. But again, he's understanding what they're doing. And he was also asked about Boston. You faced him. What do you take away from them?
Their consistency on a nightly basis. You know, the things that they mess up with, they don't mess up twice. And you can see it in their record. They know when to pick up their intensity. They know when they're playing sloppy, and they make adjustments quick, and that's what makes them great.
Again, I love all of that. And one of the other things you saw there as well, back on Thursday, trying to take the charge on Giannis.
You know, I think the refs did the best they could with the call. And I mean, I fully agree with it, but I thought I was there. That might have been my first charge since I was like 12. But they took it away from me. It was crazy, but I knew he was trying to get downhill, so I was just trying to anticipate like which way he would go and just try to sell it, but I didn't get there in time.
So, look, I think Jake's on the money here. One of the things you look at it, only one win in three games, but you're seeing him be pretty consistent. He keeps talking about the consistencies. Everybody else got to pick up their game and do the other aspects of it. He's trying to do what he can, and he's been pretty impressive. Again, that's as tough a stretch as you're going to get. The last time the Bells had that stretch, they lost all three games. So they won one, and we could argue they could have won that other one, the first one against OKC. Rafael Esparza is next. The two games tonight. The men's Final Four. What is Vegas thinking? We'll do that next on ESPN New Orleans.
On the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back. Sports Hangover. Joining us on the Ruderman Can guest hotline, 800-998-1003. None other than the man himself, Rafael Esparza, Uncle Earl. I see you in the on-deck circle. We'll come to you here before the bottom of the hour. Oh, Rafael, what a weekend of college basketball. Men's side, women's side. Let's start tonight, man, with the big games over in Albany. Sir, LSU in Iowa. How much action's going in there? Madeline Adams from Fox 8 is up there, and she says she saw ticket prices going as much as $2,500 for the best seats.
Oh, I it wouldn't shock me. I think this game might outbet the Duke game yesterday, or maybe
really?
Even both games. Yeah, this is a heavy, heavy bet game. It's going to be on ESPN. There's no men's college basketball games tonight on the board. It's a small slate of NBA, I mean, it was one playoff atmosphere one. That's the one in our city tonight. But this Iowa-LSU game will get all the talk in the airwaves, which it should. I mean, I like LSU. I like them at +2. The number's coming down. Mm-hmm. Now it's 1.5 Iowa. And I said this on the air with another show I did this morning, and it got people rubbed off the wrong way and stuff like that. But if Iowa wins, and let's say they beat, I mean, Iowa won last year in the finals. That's up. There should be, anytime they win against teams like LSU, South Carolina, USC, any of these top programs, Connecticut, it should be a huge upset. Iowa has one player that came from another school, a transfer portal. One. LSU rebounded from, got some other players. South Carolina brought a whole starting five in.
Yeah, exactly.
UCLA did. SC did. I mean, what these girls are doing is something rare you see in college sports in general, baseball, football, basketball. It's very rarely to see. Now, I think that's why it's their downfall today. I just think they need more help. If Caitlin Clark had more help, I think they would. win this game. I just think LSU too big inside, and I think that's how they win. I like LSU, but I'm just saying if Iowa wins, I'm sorry, if Iowa wins today, if they beat South Carolina, it should be up there as one of the biggest upsets in college sports history because how they brought their team together. Does that make sense?
No, it does. And that's why, look, I asked her this as well, too, because a lot of the national media were saying that, yes, while Iowa has the one seed, they are looking at them as the underdog going into this game. And are they as good as they were last year when they made that run, you know, to the championship game? And I would say, too, that not only do I agree with you, I think that, yeah, I mean, it's, look, we talked about the run that LSU would have to make to even get to this game, beating UCLA. It's a pretty good team. I think you had them coming out of that regional. And
yeah, I did.
And it, you know, so now I almost think, like, how do they handle the emotion aspect of this game, you know?
I think they'll handle it correctly. I mean, they've been saying the right answers, both teams, on their presses today. I think both teams respect each other. Clark and Reese, they both, like, to me, it sounds like they're friends on the, off the court, and then when it comes off the court, okay, I'm going to taunt you, you're going to taunt me, but after the game, hug you, yeah, congratulations, and we'll move on, which it should be. It should not be a Magic Johnson, Isaiah Thomas, let's kiss each other on the court, and stuff like that. But I think they both teams respect each other. Like I said, I think we should have a fantastic game. But as I was, again, I was looking at this roster, LSU should be probably a 4, 5, 6 point favorite with the roster they have. If they played South Carolina, South Carolina should be almost a double digit favorite against this Iowa team. But Iowa has Caitlin Clark. The bettors are going to bet it. But like I said, they just don't have. I mean, Caitlin Clark had offers to go to UConn, I think her sophomore year. She's like, no, I want to stay here in Iowa. So this, I can't wait to watch this. I am more pumped to watch this game than any of the Sweet 16 games this weekend.
I was going to ask you about that. Legit, when I watched the end of that LSU-UCLA game, you're part of the group text, obviously, with Chef Scotty and 4K, and I'm like, man, this game was, I mean, that was some high-level basketball that was being played. So I am excited to see what happens here coming tonight. And then it's crazy, would you ever thought there would be the day that a UConn game take second billing? Madeline said the secondary market, $15 to get to the UConn game tonight against USC. And Juju Watkins is solid. I mean, you have two really good players playing in that game.
Yeah, both teams can beat LSU. Both teams can beat South Carolina. I think NC State's slipper comes off on a Friday. But, yeah, I think that this and I'm excited to watch this game. I have two live shows I got to do, and I might be screaming on the air as I'm watching Connecticut USC and LSU Iowa while I'm supposed to be talking about NBA, WrestleMania, and other stuff.
WrestleMania is coming up. What is that, 2 weekends?
No, this weekend.
Oh, it's this weekend coming up. Oh, wow. There we go. That's good. Hey, I can actually watch it because I have Peacock thanks to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, finally. Jeez.
Hey, no, the Kansas City Chiefs forced it, man. They had to play that playoff game, and then the wife
had to watch. I thought I had to do a GoFundMe page for you to get Peacock. Look, I guess I don't have to do that now.
All you needed to do was just attach Taylor Swift to it, and my wife would buy it. You know, then I don't have to ask anything about it.
Very good point.
All right, let's get to it, man. NC State, is money coming in on them? I mean, how remarkable of a run here? Could you have, you know, seen this coming? I mean, they take on the number one seed Purdue, who at least had to sweat a little, you know, in the game against Tennessee.
Yeah, we have a really, really tall guy versus a really, really not so slim guy. I don't want to in this matchup. And Edie's just too big. I mean, he's going to get NC State into foul trouble. I mean, the reason why Purdue, they're a very good free throw shooting team with Edie on a free throw line who shoots a little bit over, I think 76-77%. I don't have the number in front of me. And I just think down the stretch, I think it'd be just too much Purdue on this one. I mean, I know the public and the media wants UConn and Purdue, but don't sleep on Alabama. I mean, granted, I've been eating crow all week long because I've been fading Connecticut this whole tournament, so yeah. I'm full of crow because all Connecticut does is just whoop up. Who does a 30-0 run in the second half? Was unbelievable. Never seen that, but at least I got to watch baseball because I switched the TV off. I wasn't going to watch the rest of that.
That's what I was going to say, Rafael. Of the teams that I see going here to this Final Four in Phoenix, man, UConn looks like they're on the mission. They look a little ticked off. The head coach Harold Hurley's out there saying our fan base is ridiculous. They look locked in, and it's crazy. He's sort of not only gone me against the world, or us against the world, us against their own fan base, everything. I mean, and they're leaving no doubt out there.
Yeah, it's. They're playing like Hurley played in his college career. If you go back and watch his play, I mean, he was always jarring and jabbing at his teammates and the other team and the crowd. I mean, that's why the players. It's funny how he can do it to certain teams, but some coaches can't do it because of NIL and I make more money than you. You can't yell at me, but Hurley's guys, they accept it and they live with it, and that's why they might be cutting down back to back nets.
All right, so that game, of course, UConn and Alabama, that's coming up at 7:49 on TBS. And then NC State and Purdue is the early one. NC State and Purdue coming up at 5:09. We'll get to some WrestleMania stuff here on Friday. It's still 2 days, right? Saturday, Sunday? Still 2 days?
Yeah, Saturday and Sunday.
Expand to three.
The Rock, I'm back-to-back days, probably.
Really?
I have a feeling he might show up against a championship match. Come on. I mean, if you have The Rock there, why wouldn't you put him on back-to-back nights? Come on.
It'd be interesting to see what happens there. All right. You talked a little bit about the women, too, as well, in that we now know at least two teams that are in. And I don't know. What do you look at? Oregon State and South Carolina yesterday with the Gamecocks winning 70-58. NC State over Texas, 76-66. I'm trying to think of the last time you had men and women's into the Final Four.
Yeah, I have a NC State, and that was ridiculous. I mean, you said UConn's on a mission. South Carolina's on a mission as well. They feel like they lost a championship game last year, even though they weren't even in the championship game last year. So they're going to be a very, very tough out. I would not be shocked if we see a South Carolina LSU final. So I would not.
Really?
I know people hate me saying, how come I was not in it? It'd be great TV ratings. But, I mean, I just think I was loses today. Would not shock me. I would like to see South Carolina USC. Juju gets no love in women's basketball because it's all been Caitlin Clark and Reese, which is because no love for West Coast. So I'd like to see USC get in there and Juju get some love on national media.
Juju's pretty good. All right, man. NBA is a pretty big game tonight for your New Orleans Pelicans taking on the Suns. What? What?
It's not Memphis Detroit?
No.
Big game?
No. New Orleans, 1.5-point favorites here.
This total opened up at 225. I thought it was way too high. I think it's playoff atmosphere, defense. I love the way the Pelicans play team defense. The Suns have been playing defense as well. Quickly jumped to 223.5. I like the Pelicans small tonight. I think it's going to be I would not be shocked if either one of these teams score 100 like we see with Boston was, 101-94. I think it's like the type of game tonight. I think the Pelicans squeak this one out tonight. They have to win. They can't go back-to-back losses at home.
I'll take squeak. I'm good with squeak. You know, fine with that. Hey, did you watch any of the UFL?
Yes, I did.
What'd you think?
It was entertaining. I mean, I thought the Birmingham Arlington game was really good. Was the highest scoring game over the weekend, 27-14. A little bit shocked that St. Louis came out flat. I thought their team would be much better. They lose to Michigan by 2. San Antonio looked really good as an underdog. They were plus 5. They win 27-12. I thought their defense looked outstanding against D.C. And Memphis-Houston, I didn't really watch that much of it because there was a parade out in front of my house. And my wife said, shut the TV off and get out here. So,
yes, Easter parade.
I didn't get to watch. Yeah,
did you participate in the Easter parade?
No, I was collecting candy. I mean, the gay Easter parade that goes around my house is one of the best parades because they throw candy.
Yep.
Oh, it's the best one. They don't throw beads. They throw candy. I love candy. Easter candy is the best candy. It's better than Halloween candy. It's better than Christmas. Easter candy rules.
Can the Cubs get a bullpen at all? I guess I was going to say, should I just sit there and be like, look, man, it was the Rangers opening night. They dropped the banner. They got their ring. They could have won that game. They do win the season finale or the series finale. And I guess I got to be happy if I'm a Cubs fan. I thought they gave the Rangers three good games.
Yeah. I agree. We didn't get swept. That was my main goal. So, I mean, it's early. It's three games. I mean, look at the Pirates are undefeated.
What?
The one team that's undefeated that doesn't shock me, and I said they could win the AL Central, is the Detroit Tigers. They might have one of the best pitching staffs in the American League that no one's talking about. Be aware for the Detroit Tigers. So I like their way they started them, but everyone thinks, oh, Detroit, Brewers, Yankees. There's four teams. I know I can't remember the last one. But don't sleep on the Detroit Tigers. They could with the AL Central.
All right, sir. We'll talk to you again on Friday. Maybe you swing on over on Thursday, sir. I'll have an extra seat.
I want to try. WrestleMania is really keeping me busy this week.
Okay, well, you're there. As always, man, appreciate the time.
Take it easy. Have a great week.
You too. At VSI Doc Sports is the way to follow Rafael Esparza, Mr. Vegas, we like to call him. Jack Benjamin, college basketball extraordinaire. He knows things that I have no idea about. Very simple interview. Jack, what do you know? That's how I will start the conversation. It's Sports Hangover on ESPN.
To the Final Four, because with all the emotion, all the guts being spilled on the floor and everything for this with Clark and Reese and the whole thing, whoever wins, man, it might backfire against it going into the Final Four. I might be off on that. This seems like a national championship game.
It does feel like way, and that's something we'll talk to Jack a little bit about, too, because, I mean, I think we've all called games where sometimes teams get really amped up for it. I mean, look, I know you're a huge LSU football fan. We see that a lot in football, right? You get ready to take on one team. How do you come back and face it the next week? I think having a week, days between I think does help, and I also do think that you have a veteran team, and even in Iowa, they don't have their full slate of starters back from last year. I mean, Caitlin and them, they'll be ready to go, just like LSU will be ready to go.
No doubt.
So, but I hear what you're saying. I mean, it's a valid thing, man. Who you like tonight so we can get the Jack?
Hey, I like the Tigers, Goose. Pell's going to win, baby. Let's go. And always an awesome show, buddy.
I love that. Thank you so much, man, for holding on there as we bring in Jack Benjamin. Sir, I don't know, what do you make of that, Jack, in terms of can whoever win this game legit go on to try to win the national championship, at least get in that national title game?
Yeah, well, Gus, I appreciate you having me on, and this is a big-time night for women's college basketball. I'm really excited, and obviously all the people, like the guy who just called in, everyone is so excited about watching this game. It's cool to see as someone who's been a fan of women's basketball for a long time, but yeah, I mean, I think whoever wins this game absolutely has a shot. You know, South Carolina, Gus, I don't know how much you've been able to watch them this year, but Dawn Staley has put together a machine over there in Columbia, and they have that thing rolling. They're 36-0. LSU's won 14 of the last 15. The only loss was to South Carolina in the SEC title game, and that was only a 7-point loss. Now, South Carolina has had a couple of tough games in the tournament. It's going to be a tall task for whoever wins this game to, you know, go on and do more, but I definitely think whoever wins is going to have a whole lot of momentum, because this feels like it feels like a mini title game tonight of who can get the Final Four out of this region.
At Jack Benjamin PXP, the way to follow over our next. All right, let's say you're calling the game, you're sitting down, you're looking at your notes, you're prepping for this. How would you, I guess, describe each team this incarnation? Because I do think they look different from last year, don't they?
Yes, definitely different. There are similarities, and then there are differences. So, let's take LSU first. I think that's the more familiar team for, obviously, you know, people locally here. Everyone knows the name Angel Reese, obviously. You know, SEC Player of the Year. We know what she did last year. We know the you can't see me motion she made to Caitlin Clark in the tournament and the way she goes about her business. But she's obviously an outstanding player. I think people forget, Gus, and this is something that I haven't seen brought up that much. In the title game last year, she scored 15 points. She had 10 rebounds. She wasn't the reason that LSU won that game last year. If you look at the box score, Jasmine Carson, you might remember, knocked down five threes, had 22 points. She was averaging like 9 or 10 points per game. LaDasia Williams, who's not a scorer for them, came in and scored 20 points because her size inside was such a problem for Iowa. And then Alexis Morris is obviously no longer there. Alexis Morris, I think, was the best on-ball defender in the entire country last year in the women's game, and she's no longer at LSU. So what did Kim Mulkey do? Well, she went to the portal. I know you were talking to Rafael Esparza about all the transfers. They went and got Haley Van Lith, who, of course, Caitlin Clark beating the Elite Eight last, you know, beating the NCAA tournament last year to get to the Final Four when she was in Louisville. She's an All-American, and she's now, you know, in the backcourt. She's not the defender that Alexis Morris was, but she's obviously an outstanding player. Yeah, Flaje Johnson has really been terrific. She's, ever since she stepped on campus at Baton Rouge, has been outstanding, and she's really coming to her own now. I know Madeline was talking about that earlier. She's outstanding, and she's a returner. You got a player like Anissa Morrow, who's a DePaul transfer, who they brought in to play alongside Angel in the front court. And she's not maybe the defender that LaDasia Williams was, but she's an outstanding offensive player, and those two basically both have double-doubles every single day. So, yeah, they've rebuilt through kind of what they've done transfer portal-wise, with a couple of the holdovers being, you know, Reese and Flaje Johnson. And then you look at Iowa, I mean, obviously everybody knows the name Caitlin Clark. The question becomes, it was 102-85, Gus, a year ago. It was a 17-point win for LSU. So the question is, okay, how does this become different for an Iowa team that didn't change that much? They've only really got, you know, one player who is, I guess, new to their rotation, if you look stats-wise, and that's one of their guards, a transfer from Central Michigan, and Molly Davis. But outside of that, you know, Hannah Stolke, who was the first-team All-Big Ten selection, is coming to her own. She's their one real post threat at 6'2". So she's kind of, I guess, got the task of either stopping Reese or Amoro, depending on who's on the floor. Right. And then Kate Martin, who's, you know, only 6 foot tall and is more of like a stretch four, is going to have to also defend one of those bigs because they have to have her shooting out there. So this becomes a question of, can Iowa have a really good shooting game beyond the arc, which they are highly capable of. I think that they've gotten more confidence in them than they did a year ago, because I think Caitlin has instilled confidence in them, and I think she has more trust than ever before. I mean, she's dished out 15 assists on a bunch of occasions this year, and, you know, a lot of those passes are to wide open teammates because of the attention she draws in. So, yeah, I think you got to look out for how many threes can Kate Martin make, how many shots can Molly Davis make, how big a game can Stolke have, how big a game can Gabby Marshall have? She wasn't a major factor last year in the title game, and she's one of their best shooters. That's kind of what it's going to come down to for Iowa, to see if they can compete. Because, yeah, size-wise, advantage Iowa. And then, you know, one thing you pointed out earlier too, Gus, it's the question of how this game gets officiated. Caitlin Clark had three fouls before he could blink last year in the title game.
Yeah.
She got her fourth foul on a technical, throwing the ball back to the ref, you know, early in the third quarter. So if they let them play today, I mean, I think Iowa's going to have some trouble. If they officiated the way most of the tournament for Iowa's been officiated, I mean, Iowa was at the free throw line every 2 seconds against West Virginia. I mean, they barely survived that game at home in round two. So that's a big question mark for me. How does this thing get officiated? If it's called tightly and LSU's in foul trouble, I favor Iowa to have a pretty good chance.
Yeah, I agree 100%. That's the one thing that I hate thinking about that. But, Jack, we've been in games. I mean, if you hit one of these players with some quick early fouls, man, that would, you know, move some things to make sense. The second game, which is crazy. Obviously, you've been around college sports for a while. I never would have thought a UConn game takes second billing, and it does. I mean, they got a top player, Juju, the freshman's awesome in USC. How do you look at this one?
Yeah, it's funny because you've Caitlin Clark and all the record setting she's done. Gus, she's passed, you know, Kelsey Plum for the D1 women's record and Pete Maravich for the all-time college hoops record, and yet you got Juju Watkins, who scored 891 points in her freshman season. For those who didn't know, she's 8 points away from the D1 freshman scoring record. So it took, you know, Caitlin Clark took 4 years to break this record. Juju Watkins, she plays 4 years at USC. I put my money on her to pass Caitlin Clark's record. I mean, that's how special and good she is. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this one just as much as I am the LSU-Iowa one. I think I'm in the minority in that, but I've got so much respect for Gino Auriemma and what he's done at UConn, Gus. People forget, last year they lost in the Sweet 16. UConn had made 14 straight Final Fours.
Yeah.
Not the Sweet, not tournaments, not Elite Eight. 14 straight Final Fours. That ended last year. I know that he's got a chip on his shoulder. His team does. You know, they lost a key piece, an AZ Fudd, early in the year to a knee injury. It's unfortunate. They just have not had their full complement of players the entire time Paige Beckers has been at UConn. But Paige is playing out of her mind right now. If you look at her stats, and people should look this up, she's averaging 27 points in 6 postseason games. That's the Big East tournament and the NCAA tournament. She's shooting like 55% from the field. For the season, she's shooting 42% from three. They've got some really good post players inside. And, you know, I think that they've got, you know, a pretty good chance to assert themselves against USC. I've got a lot of respect for Juju and what she's able to do. I think she'll get hers. I don't have a question about that. But, you know, UConn's experience, Paige and kind of what she's gone through. You know, I think it's going to be a really good one. I think if it's tight, I think UConn can find a way to win. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to that one just as much as I am the LSU-Iowa one early.
Sir, turn our attention over to the men. When we look at this Final Four stretch here, look, UConn's been a solid team all season long. Not kind of surprised by that. Bama got hot. I mean, they are playing solid. Yeah. You know, you can knock down shots from beyond the arc. That's good there. Look, Purdue's the number one overall. So, I mean, it's NC State, right? That's the story there. How surprised have you been by them? Or when you watch the games, they're winning because of legit basketball reasons?
Yeah, I've been incredibly surprised at the run they've got on. I mean, if you look at the numbers of what they've done, they've won 9 straight elimination games, Gus. They had to win, you know, every game of the ACC tournament, and they've won 4 games in the NCAA tournament to get to the Final Four. If you use pregame win probabilities, Evan Miyakawa did the math on this, their odds to make the Final Four at that point in time starting the ACC tournament were 10,000 to 1. So what they've been able to do is unbelievable. I think, you know, the story of DJ Burns is incredible. You know, it's funny. I actually started my career, Gus. I was living in Charlotte. I was broadcasting games at Winthrop. DJ Burns was actually on the Winthrop team. I called a couple of games when he was there, which is amazing to think about. This is now the guy who's the star of the show for NC State. And I heard today that football teams are interested in signing the guy because he's, you know, he's 6 foot, you know, seven, eight, played, you know, built like an offensive lineman or a nose tackle. But what they've done is amazing. I mean, it really is channeling what Jim Valvano and that 1983 team did, which is the last time that they were in the Final Four. I mean, people forget, Gus, they had to make a three-pointer at the buzzer. Mike O'Connell, one of their guards, he made a three-pointer at the buzzer in the ACC semis just to get by Virginia and stay alive in the ACC tournament. And here they are now, 4 wins later. They've beaten North Carolina in the ACC title game. They beat Duke in the ACC tournament, and now they beat them in the Elite Eight. What they've done is remarkable, and now they go up against the player of the year in Zach Edey, a guy who really has made a player of the year case in back-to-back seasons. The guy is, it really is, you know, it's Goliath in what he's been able to do. And Purdue finally got over that hump. They've done kind of what Virginia did when Virginia lost to a 16 in UMBC. They've gone from that to making a Final Four. So, you know, that's going to be fascinating. And then, yeah, I think the question becomes, can anyone beat UConn? You know, I think they should be the rightful favorite, and they've been outstanding now. They've won 3 games this tournament by 25-plus. That's tied for the NCAA record in terms of teams doing that. Alabama, you know, people might remember Austin Clonch. He was our coach over at Nichols for 5 years. He's an assistant on that Nate Oates staff at Alabama, and Nate Oates has done a remarkable job. First ever Final Four for them. They have a really good backcourt, but it's going to take a historic shooting night, I think, from Alabama to knock off UConn. And I would expect the UConn-Purdue title game and really a game for the ages that those two match up.
It's going to be fun to watch. I can't wait for tonight, too, here as well, Jack. You like LSU-Iowa?
I've been going back and forth on this one. I know I heard Raphael. I got a lot of respect for his picks, man. He's pretty accurate. I remember when I hosted him for a few times and I went against him. I was wrong on every single pick, but I guess I might be wrong again. You know, I think the foul trouble and the way that this game is officiated is going to dictate a lot of it. I wish it wouldn't. I wish it would just come down to the players on the court, but that's the reality of postseason basketball. You know, Caitlin Clark she's found a way time and time again in her career. Something just tells me she's got some magic in her. I don't think, you know, I wouldn't be one bit surprised, obviously, if LSU can pull away with their size and what they can do, but it just feels like she's got a little bit magic left in her. And, LSU, if they get into a little bit of foul trouble again, Iowa's chances there. But, yeah, I think it'll be a dogfight to the finish. And, and then as far as UConn-USC, give me UConn by the slimmest of margins. I think they find a way.
I love it. Jack Benjamin, PXP, the Sanford play-by-play. Play-by-play extraordinaire and Mr. Knowledgeable. Thank you so much, man. We're going to chat at the end of the week here and see what else we got going on, man. Appreciate the time as always.
Yeah, you bet. I don't. Depending on how these games go, Gus, I might have to be back on tomorrow. You let me know.
You got it. I got a spot. Believe me. Yeah. After the college baseball coaches, I know Mike Silva can't wait to join us at 12:30. As that was a huge sweep for the Colonels, man, to get back on the winning side of things on the diamond.
Good bounce back for that. Appreciate you, Gus.
Yeah, for sure. We will talk with Coach Mike Silva tomorrow at 12:30. UNO Blake Dean, chat with him here as well as his Privateers are getting back into action next weekend. against HCU and take on South Alabama tomorrow. They win the series against UIW. Tulane, a five-game losing streak. We'll talk with Coach Jay Ullman to start up next hour. But up next, Jeff Fox from our sister station, KANE, a little ESPN bet segment next on ESPN New Orleans.
One plays great defense, one plays great offense. Who's going to get the better of it? 6 o'clock, the tip in Albany tonight. And again, forget about last year's matchup, other than maybe a little bit of a grudge. But these teams are not the same as they were last year and this year. The over-under, 168.5. LSU money line moving toward LSU, plus 100 even now. It was earlier in the day, I think, minus 120 Iowa, or plus 120, I should say. Minus 135 for Iowa. Caitlin Clark leading the nation in scoring, 31.7 points a game. Angel Reese, a double-double in 15 consecutive games. And, you know, a couple of reasons why Iowa might be able to cover after averaging 27.8 points per game for Caitlin Clark, 8.5 assists, 7.1 rebounds per game. She's averaged better than that this year. She's coming off a big performance against Colorado. Hold back the others. Let Caitlin Clark do her thing. It's really when the others step up that they tend to win these tougher games. LSU has five players who average over 10 points per game, but only one, Haley Van Lith, has not scored in double figures in the NCAA tournament. Iowa's entire starting lineup reached double figures against Colorado. That may be the key to outpacing the Tigers instead of solely relying on Clark. And that's what I talked about. Again, slight edge probably to Iowa right now. It could be the difference there and getting that 1.5 points needed as far as the line is concerned.
What about the nightcap? Will be USC and UConn, two teams that got some star players. Coaching, obviously, we know all about UConn here as well. Is it the Huskies that you're looking at?
Well, I tell you what, it would be hard to say no. And I think most of the folks think they do cover the 3.5 points. Apart from Iowa and LSU, this obviously we're focused on that first game, but this second game nationally maybe even of more interest, and a lot of folks think it could be a better game. But Portland, the final pits the perennial power in UConn against a very resurgent USC team, including the freshman star you referenced, Juju Watkins. Shots could be a little more difficult to come by in the matchup since only one opponent hit the 70-point mark against the Huskies and Trojans in the tournament. And again, Edwards could be the better X factor than Forbes because she reached that 20-point mark in 5 of UConn's 9 regular season meetings with ranked foes. The consensus pick does seem to be UConn tonight, giving up that 3.5 points.
I'm looking forward to both of these games here as well. Jeff, how can people want to get involved with ESPN bets here?
Absolutely. It's ready to take you through all the huge sports moments this spring. Exclusive sports book of ESPN. It has it all. Exclusive offers, promotions from folks like Scott Van Pelt and Stephen A. Smith, from playoff intensity to getting on the links and out to the ballpark. No better time to be a sports fan. Sign up today. New users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play. As always, terms and conditions apply. Check out the app for all the details. Remember, got to be at least 21. And if you do have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And as always, in partnership with LaBerge Lake Charles. And there you go. ESPN Bet, check it out. Even in-game props like today's Cubs game, scoreless right now, but the Cubs' new pitcher, Imanaga, looking real good in the first couple of innings.
Yeah, I'm watching it here. Everyone looks like they're bundled up. It's a little different temperature-wise in Chicago than it is here. We're going to have some record warmth, I just saw on my phone, before another cold front comes, so looking forward to that. Thank you, Jeff. We'll chat tomorrow. Let's hope for some good basketball games tonight.
Absolutely. Thanks, Gus.
Yep, thank you for sure. Jeff Boggs from our sister station, KANE, with ESPN Bets here as well. All right, One of the things I did want to play here as well that we were talking about was about to run out of time. I'll play it too. Look, that article came out. Kim Mulkey kind of had her thoughts on it as well. A lot of people read it. It wasn't, I don't know. Did she get ahead of it? Did she force some of the things to not be admitted? I read it. I'm like, this was what the "I'm threatening to sue you" was all about. I don't know. Either way, if you want to chime in on that or you want to call in and give me your predictions, LSU and Iowa tonight, 6 p.m. Pelicans and Suns tonight, 7 p.m. All that and more. We come back. Sports Hangover and ESPN New Orleans.
ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the huge sports moments this spring. The exclusive sports book of ESPN has it all, including exclusive offers and promotions from